You're listening to a message from Pastor Jack Holt at The River.
Tonight I'm going to be ministering to you in what I call new things. Here's what I've noticed about many individuals. Many people are held back because of the past. Whether a great disappointment, whether a divorce, whether they were abused as a child, or maybe they were raised in a dysfunctional family. Many people, because of that, their future is not what God wants it to be. And what I'm going to show you tonight is how to break through that. I love what the Apostle Paul said, because he persecuted the church before he came to Christ. And he said this in Philippians 3:13. He says, I do not count myself as apprehending. But he said, what I do is this, I forget the things that are behind and I reach forward to those things that lie ahead. So many of us have regrets, but if you don't know how to use your faith to move forward in your faith, there'll be a great future that you'll miss out on your life. And God has a great future for every one of us here. But we have to use our faith, and we have to make sure that we don't do something silly like allowing what happened to us in the past to get us to a place where you become, and it's almost like people become preoccupied by what someone did to them. They did this to me, they hurt me. And that preoccupation of that causes an individual not to be able to use their faith for the future. And God wants you to live long and prosper. God wants you to overcome. God wants you to have a great family. No matter what you've gone through, that is His will for you. But it's going to take an endeavor on your part so that you don't become preoccupied with all the sadness and the problems we have. Now, let me include something else. Many times our past holds us back because we try to live our life off our past successes. So we stop reaching forward because we've arrived. You know, our kids are out of the home. We're paid off the house. Things are looking good. And we have a tendency at that moment to not reach forward with our faith. And any time you stop reaching forward is a time you stop growing. And when you stop growing, you'll lose that fulfillment and satisfaction that comes from God's word working through you. Amen? I like what it says in Isaiah 43. He said this. He says, do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. Behold, I do a new thing. Book of Revelation says this. It says, I will make all things new. There are new horizons and blessings in your life that God wants to give to you. It's going to take an attempt on your part to use your faith. But if you do, God's will and purpose will begin to manifest in your life. Are you with me so far? Now, what we're going to do is we're going to take this out of the book of Revelation. So if you would, or if you don't have your Bibles, you can look at this, but it's going to be up on the screen. Revelation 3:14. I'm going to read these just a few verses here. This is in reference to the church at Laodicea. And it says this. And to the angel of the church at Laodicea write. Remember, the word angel is the word angelos. It means messenger. He's really referring to the pastor of the church. These things says the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of creation of God. Now, let me stop there. Whenever you do a study in the seven churches, remember this, that what is said in the beginning of the prophecy is a key that unwraps or reveals the revelation of the prophecy. So if you want to understand any one of these seven prophecies to the church fully, what you need to do is remember what is said in the beginning is a key. And in the beginning here, he's saying, listen, God is faithful, God is true, God doesn't lie. Now, the reason why he's saying that is because he's going to tell them that they're lukewarm. And they don't believe they're lukewarm. That's why the emphasis is on that. That's why if you look over, for instance, in the church of Sardis, in the chapter before, it says that we know the seven spirits of God. And it's talking about that key, the fullness of the Spirit, and the sin of that church, or the mess up of that church, was the fact they had left the fullness of the Spirit. Amen? So it unlocks the revelation of every prophecy. So with that in mind, look what it says here in the next part. He says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. Now, cold means freezing cold. Hot means boiling hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Now, what I want you to see from this particular church is this. The reason why some of the members were lukewarm was because they were living off the past. They were living after their past commitment. They were living off their past love experience with God. They were living off their past obedience to Christ. They were living off their past level of sanctification that they had developed in their life. And they were settling in at that level rather than reaching forward. See, the difference between cold and hot is this. The person that is cold, freezing cold, is desperate for a miracle in the beginning of his life. Amen? The person that is hot is desperate for more of God's greatness after he's accomplished a lot and did a lot for God. In other words, both are people who are reaching for those things that lie ahead. And God says, I can accept that, but I can't accept lukewarmness. Hallelujah. You going to get quiet on me tonight? There's a power in this. I want you to see this. They thought everything was all right with them spiritually because they built a huge church. Many people had been saved. Great revival. They were a master church, if I could say that, in the area. But the problem was they had peaked out and decided just to live at the realm that they had arrived at rather than keep reaching forward for more of the new things that God wanted to do in their life. Now, when I got saved, there was drugs in my life. There was drinking in my life. There was anger in my life. And when I got saved, the Lord delivered me from all that stuff. And what was beautiful about it is I didn't stop there and say, okay, cool. I'm kind of normal now. I didn't do that. I kept reaching for more that God had for me in my life. See, if you don't do that, you may make a lot of money. You may have money in the bank. You may be in good health. Your kids may be just right. But God has more for you. He wants you to reach for those things that lie ahead in your life. And it isn't over until you die. Amen? Keep reaching more for God's fruitfulness. Keep reaching more for God's goodness in your life. I love the verse that says this. It says, with long life, I will satisfy you. In other words, I'm going to give you as long a life as you need to be satisfied. Isn't it exciting? Come on, all you young people say, hey, I don't got that problem. Listen, you need to do this. You need to reach forward for those things that lie ahead in your life. Don't allow your success in the past or allow your past to prevent you from reaching forward. Well, I'd like to do better, Pastor, but you know, I was raised in a dysfunctional family, and there's always been anger in my family, and I'm a little bit better, but you know, that's about as good as I'm going to get. Don't do that. Or how about, oh, I've been divorced, so because I've been divorced 3 times, I can never get married again. You know, I've messed up, and that's it. And they settle into a place when God says, okay, sure you messed up, but I've got, my grace is greater for you than what you're experiencing right now in your life. And you got to keep reaching for it. I remember when I first got saved. I had never heard the message of the name of Jesus, the power in the name, that every knee has to bow to the name of Jesus, that all authority in heaven and earth has been given the name of Jesus. And I was baptized in that name. And if I ask anything in his name, the Father will give me if it's his will. I never heard that preached before. And I was at a Bible study and I told some of the people, they said, well, how come we're not praying more? How come we're not believing in the name of Jesus for this and for that? And I had an older gentleman come to me and he says, well, you haven't been around long enough. You don't realize that it isn't just the way you think it is. Now, the difference was, I was on fire, he was lukewarm. Lukewarm people, they stopped short of believing the way they believed when they first believed. Too much water under the bridge, if I could say it that way. But I'll tell you what, if God's word says it is his will, I'm just going to believe for it. I said I'm going to believe for it. I don't care how many people receive it. I'm going to believe for it because God wants us to reach forward for those things that lie ahead and not be discouraged and get wiped out because of the past. We all have past. But that past has no power over you unless you give it to that past. So I'm going to show you how to break that tonight. And write this down, Revelation 1, verse 19, because I want you to see this church, Laodicea, in its setting. In that verse, the Lord says this to John. He says, I want you to write down the things that you see and the things that are and the things that will come to place after this. In other words, he says three things. I want you to reveal what you've seen. I want you to reveal the state of the way things really are right now. And then I also want you, I'm going to show you the things that are going to come afterwards in these places. And that's very important because most people, when they look at the seven churches, they go, okay, the church at Ephesus was the beginning of the church. And then they use it historically and go through persecution and so forth and so forth. And then they come to the end of the age before Christ returns and say, that's the church at Laodicea. In other words, the end time church before Jesus comes back is a lukewarm church. That's not completely true. Let me tell you why. Read the whole prophecy. The prophecy is, if you overcome, I will put you on a throne as my Father put me on my throne. He's talking about the throne of David. In other words, Jesus says, if you overcome the way I'm telling you to and get hot for me the way you were before, I'm going to give you the power to reign in this life. So the church at Laodicea is not just a sleeping church. It's a church that has woken up and people are saying, I'm going to overcome. I'm going to keep reaching for those new things, those new opportunities. Doesn't matter about, okay, Billy Graham had thousands of people saved in crusades. We are going to have cities saved for Jesus. Can you say amen? We're not going to limit it to whatever happened in the past. And I believe that's for the church today, that God wants us to do a new thing. New things. Reach out and touch people and bless people in ways that has not happened for a long time. Let me give you a practical application to lukewarmness, and you can apply this. How many know that my relationship with my wife, which by the way is back there, she's so beautiful. We have a relationship that is still on fire. It's not lukewarm. Let me tell you the difference between a lukewarm marriage and an on-fire marriage. Here's the difference. Many couples get married, and they are obviously madly in love when they get married. Or why would they do it? So they start out good, but then through raising children, children acting stupid, financial problems with careers, disappointments, maybe illness, all kinds of things that go with living life. Amen? Many times the relationships begin to suffer. They don't have the fire they had towards each other like in the beginning. And the reason why is because they stop pressing through with their relationship like they did in the beginning. They're not taking time with each other like they should. I always tell couples that are struggling, here's the key. I'm busy, 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 busy. That's no excuse. Joyce and I have always, from the very beginning, always had one day a week that we would date at. That was a day we dated. We went to movies, did whatever. And we always took time with each other, even without the children. It was a regular thing. Why? I want to keep that relationship developing. You don't get to a place, she doesn't throw anything at me anymore. She doesn't yell at me anymore. That's not what marriage should be. It should be growing closer and closer and closer and pressing in. So if you're struggling like that, you may not even think anything's wrong. You may think everything's right, but yet inside there's an emptiness. There's not an excitement. You don't get excited when you see each other the way you used to. Now, I know it's getting quiet now. I don't want any raising of the hands. I'm just telling you that what I'm teaching you here as far as vision is concerned, you apply it to your marriage, you apply it to your family, you apply it to your children, you apply it to your career, whatever God has you doing, and you keep reaching for those things that lie ahead, and you take time to get fired up about the things that really matter in your life and begin to enjoy each one another, because when your joy is full, there's a happiness inside of you. You ever seen a Christian whose faith needs to get saved? Ever seen a Christian who's more depressed than the guy that sins are not forgiven? Have you ever seen a Christian that just mopes around and they're kind of in the frozen chosen? You see them at church, they don't want to raise their hand, they don't want to clap, there's no slide in their glide, they're just walking around moping, and we pray for you. We'll lay hands on you to cast out that spirit of heaviness. But if you stay on fire, that never happens. Amen. This would be a great time if you're married to kiss your wife. Would be a great time. Amen. So when I preach this, I'm not just talking about building careers and things like that. I'm talking about reaching for those things that lie ahead in whatever aspect of life that God has you doing. And if you don't, God won't be pleased. And it says here that if you are cold or hot, I can handle it. But if you're not, I want to spit you out of your mouth. The Greek word for spit is, they translated vomit on this translation, New King James Version. It's also translated spit. It literally means to reject. In other words, God rejects us when we don't reach forward to those things that lie ahead and we're living off the past. He doesn't want the past to hand tie you. He doesn't want the past to be a weight where you can't open up in the new relationship, where you can't be all that God called you to be because of this failure back here. He wants to break that power and bring you out of it to accomplish what the Lord has called you to do. And everyone that loved him said amen and amen. Praise God. So I'm going to give you one of the cures that he gives here in the prophecy, the cure to lukewarmness in your life. First of all, you got to be aware of the fact that you are. But the other thing that is necessary is he tells us here, I'll just read it to you. This is found in the 18th verse. It says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire, that you may be rich, white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. Now, this verse is interesting because it says, I want you to buy from me gold refined by fire. My question is, why does he say buy it? What's the purpose in buying something like that? When do we know that grace is freely given to us? Let me write this verse down. Isaiah 55, verse 1 and 2 says this. Ho, those who thirst for me, come. Those who are without money, woo. It says, come and buy and eat. Yes, buy milk and wine. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? And he says in that text, without money and without price. But yet he uses the term buy. And he's talking about salvation. You're not saved because of anything you did. You weren't saved because you went to church 29 times and God says you're deserving to be saved. You got saved because you came to him just as you were and you believed on Christ and God imputed his righteousness to you and you were made righteous out of Christ's goodness, not your own. It's a free gift that God gave you. And Romans 5:17 says this, that through the gift of righteousness, we reign in this life. That's Romans 5:17. Notice it says through the gift of righteousness. How many know that gifts are not worked for? They're freely given. I've never seen a parent yet that gave a gift to their children at Christmas time with a little note on there that says, okay, this is yours as long as you work all summer long, raking the leaves, mowing the lawn, trimming the hedge, these gifts are yours. No. Well, as soon as it's a gift, it's free. Didn't cost you nothing because the parents pay for it for a whole year, try to pay for your Christmas presents. But it didn't cost you nothing. It's a gift. The gift of righteousness is what Jesus is referring to in the book of Revelation to the church. He said, I want you to buy for me gold refined by fire. In other words, I want you to receive through that righteousness that is your free gift what you need to prevail in your life. I want you to receive that white garment that comes from my righteousness. I want you to receive a fresh anointing that lets you see through that righteousness. Because the righteousness of God, now listen to me carefully, is like a credit card without limit. If I gave you a gift of a credit card and it had no limit, that's what righteousness of God is. In other words, you have that right standing before God, whether you earned it, whether you deserve it or not, you can stand before God and say, Father, I'm here in the name of Jesus. I stand before you because of his goodness, not my own goodness. I need some grace. I need some help here. I want to reach for those things that lie ahead. And praise God, God will issue it out into your life. Now, that's exactly why many people in the church get lukewarm. They get saved and they develop a certain level of good living. And then they evaluate in their own thinking, I'm good enough that I can receive this. I'm good enough I can get that. Or I'm good enough I can do that. The problem is, it's not true. God doesn't give to you because you're good. He gives to you because Christ gave you the righteousness of his son. He who knew no sin was made sin. And oh, praise God, in order that we might become the righteousness of God. That's good news. So I believe that that's one of the ways that you get cured from lukewarmness. Because people who stop reaching are satisfied with where they're at. And God wants you to go farther. And many times because of self-righteousness, you're not able to reach for what you need in your life to achieve it. The miracle, the word of the Lord, the leading of the Spirit, the direction in your life. And then you begin to do the fatal mistake of evaluating yourself by other people. It's not wise to compare. God saves different people at different places, but they all have the same grace. Hallelujah. Amen. So I want you to see that gift is what robes you. It's that gift. I kind of look at it onto this. Have you ever went on a camping trip and you went someplace and there was a trail that went up and there was a great view once you got to the top? Ever done that? And you get out there and you start, you got a big group of people with you and you're all going. And you go the first mile and then there's a rest stop. And people are getting tired. Whew. How much longer, how much farther? It's 5 miles. Oh, Lord. So you go to the next one. And all of a sudden, each rest stop that you go to, more people stay behind. We'll just wait here. We'll see you when you get back. Tell us how good it was. Only some go to the top. They're the ones to see the big view because they kept reaching for the things that lie ahead in their life, praise God. They weren't satisfied with just being having their sins forgiven. They wanted to see heaven on this earth in a way, in a realm that they had not seen before. They want to influence people for Jesus, and they begin to reach and reach higher and higher and higher. And yeah, you got stragglers. I'm tired. There's not anything happy happening at the rest stop. It's the greatest growth of your life is going to be when you keep reaching for those things that lie ahead. It's never going to be when you settle down. Well, this is as much as I'm going to do. No. It's going to be because you keep reaching and you keep reaching and you keep believing and you keep stretching your faith and daring to believe the Word of God. So I really believe that that is one of the keys to it. And the other key that I want you to see is this, that one of the things that sabotages our future faith is how we talk to ourselves. Sometimes we talk ourselves out of it and say, I don't think I could do that. That's too big a problem. I'll never be able to change. I don't think I can do that. There's no way. I'm just not smart enough or whatever. And you talk yourself out of it. Write this verse down. This is in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6 through 7. You'll remember the verse if you've read the Bible at all. It says that it's not by might, not by power, but it's by God's grace. And then he says this, and this is the part I want to emphasize. This is in verse 7. He says, who are you? Say, who are you? O great mountain before Zerubbabel. You shall become a plain, he says. Woof. He shall bring forth the capstone, that's finishing the building project, with shouts of grace, grace to it. Now, why did he tell Zerubbabel that this mountain in his life was no match for him? Why would he say this problem that you're facing is no match for you? Because Zerubbabel, as he was leading up this building project, he was probably saying things like this, I can't get permits. I can't get the county to agree with this. I'm not bigger than the government. And so the Spirit of God spoke to him and said, wait a minute. Who are you, O great mountain before Zerubbabel? And all of a sudden, Zerubbabel starts realizing, wait a minute. I'm anointed by God. There's no mountain in my life that is bigger than the anointing in my life. There's no mountain in my life that is bigger than Jesus in my life. There's no mountain in my life that I can't overcome. There's not anything I can't achieve in Christ. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Woohoo! And as soon as he got that revelation, his faith began to work, but he was probably talking himself out of it like so many people. Did you know that Satan is more afraid of you than you know he is? Amen. He is. Satan, all the demons, they're more afraid of you than you really realize they are. You remember the story in the book of Acts? Where some people went out and they tried to cast out devils without being saved, without being filled with the Spirit. And it said that this one individual had this demon and they tried to cast him out. And the devil said this through the individual. He said, I know Jesus and I know Paul, but who are you? And went and tore these guys' clothes off, just left them whipped. Amen? But Satan knows your name. In fact, he's got a wanted poster down in hell. I know I'm exaggerating, but the reality is he knows you. He knows that you have the authority, you can get him running. You have the authority to remove every mountain that comes against you in your life. You have the authority to get your relatives saved. You have the authority to get your family on track. You got the authority that can change everything in your life. He knows that. But the question is, do you know it? Because sometimes, through what I call vain repetition, we sabotage the very vessel that can defeat the devil. That is ourself. Now, when I use the word vain repetition, what I'm talking about is this. I'm talking about when you say things that you shouldn't be saying repetitiously, and it literally sabotages your faith. Let me give you an example. I'll never be able to find a good wife. I'll never be able to find a good husband. They don't make them anymore. There's just a few left, pastors left, but he's got a wife. And you keep saying it. It's a vain repetition. You keep saying it and saying it. As you say it, your past holds you back from believing God. Or you might be saying something like this: I can't do it, I can't do it, I can't do it, I can't do it. I'm not strong enough, I'm not smart enough, I'm not good looking enough, I don't have enough connections, I don't live on the right side of the tracks, I can't do it. And you keep saying it and saying it and saying it, and your past holds you back. A good thing to do every so often is read of successful people, and you'll find many Christian people who were utter failures in life, came from poor families that did great things. That's because they wouldn't allow themselves to talk out of it. Think about all the people that say, I can't lose weight. I've tried every diet there is. It's impossible. And they, because of their disappointments in the past, they produce this vain repetition. Now, I'm saying this because this is the key. If you change the repetition and speak in faith and say, I can do all things through Christ. Greater is he that is in me than he is the world. No weapon formed against him shall prosper. And you get in the habit of saying what God's word says when you see your problem, then you're going to begin to see yourself being able to reach for it. But if you always say, I can't do it, it's too far, I can't reach that far, I can't obtain that, it's too much to ask, you won't be able to do it. Your past will hold you back. But if you say to yourself, I'm going to go ahead and produce a positive repetition of faith. I'm going to say what the word says. I have a virtuous wife. All the blessings of God I've already received. All the blessings of God I already have as well. There's nothing that I cannot do that God has called me to do. And if you say that in the midst of what you're facing, that repetition will breed inside of your heart a blessing. There's a verse, let me show it to you. This verse in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12 to 13, and it's talking about people that were bitter and all this stuff. He says, lift up those slopy hands and those weak knees. And then he says, make straight path for your feet so that the limb that is lame is not put out of joint, but you would be healed. When he says, make your feet that path straight, the word that he's using there for path means repetition, something that you go over and over again. In other words, it's not a path unless it's been traveled on over and over again. A road is something that has to be traveled on all the time. And if he's saying, if you want to get yourself healed, you're going to have to change the repetition in your life. Change the repetition. Quit talking about what someone did to you in the past. Quit talking about how you were hurt. Quit talking about nobody understands me. Quit talking about I was never smart enough. Quit talking about I was raised in the wrong kind of environment. Quit talking about it. Get a new repetition. New repetition. And if you do, that which was hurt will get healed. And then buy my book on healing of the heart that I wrote. Amen. There's a repetition, a need for it, that brings forth blessings. Here's what the Lord told me. He said, tell them with the right repetition, there's nothing they can't believe. And you know this because of Mark 11, 23. Jesus emphasized when he talked about faith three times more what was said than what was believed. In other words, the repetition of saying what you believe creates a belief inside of you. But you're going to have to say it far more than it takes to believe it. You're going to have to make your life change by the words that come out of your mouth. Amen? And if you do that, it will give you the breakthrough that you need in your life. Now, what I'm talking about is breaking the power of the past, even a successful past, where it no longer holds you from reaching forward for those things that lie ahead. That's what I'm talking about, breaking the power of that past. Now, I don't know if you understand the severity of the story of the woman with the issue of blood. Let me give you a little insight into it. She had this blood disease for 12 years. Now, for a Jewish woman to have a blood disease like where she constantly was having blood issues, she was considered unclean. Men were not allowed to touch her. She was not allowed to go to any festivals. She was not allowed to go to church or the synagogue. And she had suffered that for 12 years in isolation. Couldn't get married. And she, it says, had spent all of her money on physicians. So most people don't understand the physicians during Jesus' day were educated witch doctors, basically. They had remedies that were passed down, but here's the clincher. There were certain remedies that were passed down, and they learned these remedies, and then they hid the remedies from the public. So the only way that you could find a remedy to an illness was to go to these physicians, and they were extremely wealthy because they never told the public how to heal some of these issues in their life. And so they offered up false hope, and many of them were into astrology, and they used other methods to give people hope that if you do this, you'll get healed. This woman spent all of her money on it, 12 years. Every time she went to one, I think I got a remedy here that'll help, and she had hope, and then she lost it. 12 years, physician after physician after physician, she had lost hope and lost hope. Can you imagine the repetition in her life? Someone said, how are you doing? Well, I'm on the fifth year. I went to 10 doctors this year, and they cost me this and this. I'm not any better. You imagine going on the eighth year, ninth year, 12th year, a history of past failures. I tried this treatment, I tried that treatment, I tried this treatment, I tried that treatment. Can you imagine this poor woman, what she was going through? And then one day she hears about a preacher by the name of Jesus that said, the anointing that I have within you can heal the sick, can heal the brokenhearted. And she grabbed hold of that, the word of God. And here's a woman that wasn't allowed to go to church. So the only word she heard was when someone tell it to her. Not going to the synagogue. They wouldn't let her in it. She grabbed a hold of that, and notice what she does. She changed the repetition. Instead of saying, no one's been able to help me, she said, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. If I just touch, and in the Greek, it's imperfect, which means it was a continuous thing she was saying. She may have said it for days. She may have said it for a month. It doesn't say how long she said it, but she kept saying, if I just touch the hem of his garment, and she probably heard of Jesus coming and then pressed through the garment and touched, the rest is history. She got healed. Here's the point that I want you to say. You can break the power of the past with repetition of faith for your future. Start saying what your future, what you wanted to be in Christ. Start saying that like a broken record. Start saying your latter days are better than your former. Start saying that you're more than a conqueror. Start saying it, and whatever you're facing, and adapt it to that, and just use repetition and repetition and repetition and repetition. And the beautiful thing about it is the Holy Spirit will tell you certain things to say. Amen. And you may not even be able to find it in the scripture. You can find the essence of it, but not the actual words. And you'll say it, and you'll say it. And you said, I've seen people get a revelation from God to start saying, I'm not going to be broke anymore. I'm broke no more. I'm broke no more. And I've seen them prosper. Are we excited today or whatever? Do you want to break the power? You want to break the power of the past that is hindering your relationship. You want to break the power of the past that's helping you from excelling financially. Do you want to break the power of the past that's kept you weak and feeble? Do you want to break the power of the past that is holding you back? Then what you got to do is get a better repetition of what you say and start declaring it in the name of Jesus so that God's power can bring you up and bless you and have a better relationship and overflowing blessings. And oh, yes.
Thanks for listening today. For more messages like this one, check out our podcast, River App, and our website at theriver.church. We're the river, and we're doing life together.